Do not take this opportunity for granted. We thank you for the honor of your presence. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you that you are here by your Spirit. We thank you for the fellowship we have together. Thank you for what you have in mind for us this morning. What you have done already, what you are doing now, what you're going to do, we are grateful. Spirit of living God, we recognize your presence and your ministry this morning. Do all you desire to do. We submit us under your ministry and your help this morning. We're grateful and we thank you. Let there be answers, solutions, deliverance, salvation, help, diverse kinds of needs we met this morning by the ministry of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me thank Brother Bumi again for the opportunity to be here this morning. And it's always a privilege to be here. We do not take God's presence for granted. It's always a privilege to talk to God's people. Every time, and I say normally every time, this is a place where there's simplicity and purity, which is very rare these days. We need to keep that and maintain that and not get polluted by what is going around us that is not particularly very right. And thank God for how the meeting has gone. I believe God has a plan. What God has me to share relates to a number of things that maybe happened on Friday at the prayer meeting, then the song that was sang last, and then what Brother Wale said, that Sunday should not be an event. It should actually be an experience, an encounter with God, propel us into greater things. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Romans 8, 31, 32. Here we see a very common scripture. We want to look at it in a bit of detail this morning to be able to answer some questions that we have as Christians that we sometimes don't have the boldness to ask ourselves. Some issues that we think, what's happening to me? Is there something wrong with me? And we don't have the boldness to ask people because they might misunderstand us. And sometimes we don't think God will appreciate those questions. Romans 8, 31, 32. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to verse 32. He, God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also do what? Talk to me. Do what? Okay. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? How many things? Freely give us all things. But the question is, do we get all things from God? The question is, don't we have things in our lives we have been asking God for, we're trusting God for, that it seems we don't have? He will, with him also, freely give us all things. Not some things, not most things, but freely give us all things. Because when we don't have the things, legitimate, not illegitimate now, legitimate things that we have asked God in prayer or that is expected of us as Christians, we tend to be confused. We tend to ask questions, is there something wrong with me? Am I doing something wrong? Am I not praying right? And most times we cannot ask people these questions. We internalize these questions. And what it leads to is, it leads to what I call prayer weariness. We become weary in the place of prayers because we have had a catalog of prayers that seem to be unanswered. Then eventually we begin to draw back from God or from prayers or from church because it seems it is not working. And you look at your life, everything is right, you are doing everything right, but things are just not right, maybe in certain areas of our lives. So we want to look at that this morning briefly and see how we can help ourselves to overcome that kind of situation. Because there's nothing as frustrating as not getting results. Nothing as frustrating as not getting answers to prayers. And the thing we must understand is God does not joke with his words. He says what he means, and he means what he says. If he says he will freely give us all things, then that is exactly what he means. If he says he answers prayers, that's exactly what he means. He says what he means, he means what he says. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So God does not joke with his words. He doesn't say what he does not mean. He means what he says. Three things we're going to look at that will help us in this regard to take God at his word and live in the reality of God's word being real in our lives. So it's not just a theory. It's not just religion. But these three concepts, three principles, if you can understand them, will help us to walk in the reality of the word of God. Three words are simple. That's the title of my message. Provision, permission, possession. Say after me, provision, permission, possession. One more time. Say, I know you didn't eat breakfast, so but say it loud enough. Number one. Number two. Number three. One more time. Okay. So we'll look at these three things to help us so that we can walk in the reality of God's word in our lives. If you can understand provision, permission, and possession, to help us to understand that the word of God can be our reality. It did not just be in the pages of the Bible, but our life should be a reality of what God has said in his word. Now, these three things, they're very simple. Very, very simple. The things of God are very simple. These we human beings are complicated, the things of God. Very, very, very simple. The principles, the truths that we all know, but God wants to highlight these things for us in view of our present condition. Whatever we hear in church is a sign of where God is taking us to or where we ought to be. So sometimes what you hear in church might look irrelevant, but it's just a pointer to the future. So if it looks irrelevant, as it were, we need to keep it for the future. But most times, God speaks to us based on where he wants us to be. So three things we're looking at: provision, permission, and possession. Let me put it in a more spiritual way for you to understand. Grace, covenant, faith. Grace, covenant, faith. Grace provides. Covenant permits. Faith possesses. Grace provides, covenant permits, faith possesses. So we're going to look at these three things. Grace makes provision available. Covenant gives permission to access what grace has provided. And faith gives possession to what grace has provided that we have permission to access. So that's why provision, permission, and possession. Say it again. Provision. Talk to me. Provision. Permission. Possession. I'm not having a Nigerian accent, so just. So when you look at these three principles in light of where we are, let's start with grace. Grace is a multidimensional word. It's a word that has many implications, but we're looking at it this morning, and we can define grace as provision. Grace provides provision. Grace provides provision. So grace provides. Grace makes provision available. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. So grace provides salvation for all men. So grace provides. Very important that we understand these principles. Grace provides. The grace of God that bring it. It brings. Grace brings things. Grace provides. So grace provides salvation. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ says, we know that grace. He was rich, but he became poor, so we through his poverty might become rich. So grace provides riches. So grace provides. Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Don't forget, we come to the throne of grace. The throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. So grace makes you to obtain mercy. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So grace provides mercy. Grace provides help. Very important. So grace provides. Grace provides. Do you have the Amplified translation of that? You have Amplified? Okay, give me the Amplified. So grace provides. Titus 2:11, grace provides salvation. 2 Corinthians 8:9, grace provides riches. Hebrews 4:16, grace provides mercy and help. Amplified translation, if you can get that. Very important, we can get Hebrews 4:16 from the Amplified. You don't have to fight. Okay, let's just move on. Okay, read it. Yes, please. For the remarkable undeserved grace of God. Okay, that what?
Brings salvation.
That's Hebrews 4:16.
Titus.
So the Hebrews 4:16. I want Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 from the Amplified. Okay? If you don't get it, we just move on. So grace provides. Grace provides. Grace provides. Tell your friend, grace provides.
Grace provides.
Okay. Now Hebrews 4. Do you have it?
Okay.
Thank you.
Therefore, let us with privilege.
Okay.
Approach the throne of grace.
Let us with privilege approach the throne of what?
Grace.
The throne of grace. Yeah.
That is the throne of God's gracious favor.
Okay.
With confidence and without fear.
Yeah.
So that we may bring mercy for our failures.
Yeah.
And find his amazing grace.
And find what?
His amazing
find
grace.
Find what?
His amazing
grace. Say it again. And find what?
His
amazing find his amazing grace. Uh-huh.
To help in time of need.
To help when?
In time of need.
So that means where you have a need, there's a grace to help you. So that means the presence of a need is your absence of a grace. Read again for us, sir. To find
his amazing grace to help in time of need.
To help in time of need, okay. Go on.
An appropriate blessing.
Appropriate blessing.
Coming just at the right moment.
Coming just at the right moment. So I've given three scriptures now. Titus 2:11, grace provides what? Salvation. 2, 2 Corinthians 8:9, grace provides riches. Hebrews 4:16, grace provides mercy and help. So basically, grace is provision. Grace is what?
Provision.
Very important. Grace is provision. Now, what grace provides is free. At no cost to you. You don't deserve it. You don't merit it. You can't work for it, but it's available. Very important. So you're not trying to earn what grace has provided. You're not trying to work for what grace has provided, but it has already been provided. Romans 4:4. So provision is available to us at no cost to us. Your prayer does not make provision available. It is grace that makes provision available. Romans 4:4 says, now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace. So when you walk, it is not grace. If you walk, you are owed a salary. That's what they're saying there. So if you work, you are owed a salary. It is not grace. But if you don't work and they pay you, it's grace. So grace is not earned. Grace is not earned. You don't earn grace. You don't deserve grace. That is, you don't deserve provision. You don't deserve what God has provided, but it is already provided. Very important, because you understand the place of prayer. So we're not praying for provision. Provision is already there by grace. Romans 11:6. Looking at provision, permission, possession. Romans 11:6. It says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But, and if by grace, there is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it's of works, there's no more grace, otherwise works no more. What they say in there? Grace and works are two different things. Okay? Grace provides. You don't work for it, you don't deserve it, you don't earn it, but the provision is there by grace. Now, grace comes through Jesus. John 1:16-17. Grace comes through Jesus. Grace comes through Jesus. Romans 1:16-17. Grace comes through Jesus. It says, and of his fullness have we all received, and that grace for grace. Verse 17. It says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. So Jesus is a doorway to grace. So if you have received Jesus, you have access to grace. So every Christian has grace. Are you still following me? You're not following me? Okay, you have to say yes or no, so I know whether you're following me or not. Are you following me? Yes. Okay, so grace provides. So Jesus is grace personified. Somebody said grace is G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. G, God, R, riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So grace provides because of what Jesus has done, not what you do. Because Jesus has died, he was raised from the dead, he has paid the price and made grace available, made provision available. So you need not work, you need not earn it, you're not merited, it is already provided. Very, very important. So that simply means your healing is what? Is what? Is not going to be, but it has already been provided. The answer to that question has been provided. The money to pay that bill has been provided. Righteousness has been provided. Holiness has been provided. Deliverance has been provided. Grace has already been provided. Provided. Past tense. Very important. Provision. So when we come to pray, we're not trying to make God do something. He has already done it. It takes a mental shift. Are you following me? It has been provided. Christ has paid the price by whose stripes you were healed. So provision is available. God is not trying, even though he can create and do things, but you must understand whatever we want has already been provided by grace. It is what Christ has done that has made it available, that has made it to be provided. So it's not your prayer that is making it to be available, it's grace. I hope you are still here this morning. Oh, you've gone home? Okay, good. So grace provides. Very important. So when I come to pray, that's what the Bible says in Matthew. It says, when you come to pray, don't be like the heathen who use many words. For your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. So your prayer is not a surprise to God. He's not surprised. Wow, so you need that? I didn't know that. No. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. It's like you have a child and you are a responsible parent. You know your child needs to school fees, need new shoes, new dresses. You know that already. So when they ask you, it's not a surprise. So provision is available by grace. So we're not trying to make God do some things for us. Are you following me? It's already available. So that job is already available. That husband available. That wife available. That healing available. That answer available. That deliverance, they are already available. You know, if you understand that, it will shift your thinking in the place of prayers. We're not trying to twist God to do things for us. It is what Christ has done that has made provision available for us. Okay. Now, so grace provides. Grace provides. Grace provides. So whatever you need, grace has provided. Whatever you need, grace has provided. So if grace has provided, you can be sure that what you need is a done deal. Very important. So when we pray with the right attitude. With the right attitude. So you are coming to a Father who loves you so much that he already knows what you want. So you're asking, now the question, okay, let me show you that scripture. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Because God wants us to come to a place where prayer is a delight, not a burden, not a mysterious thing, but a delight. Matthew chapter 6. Okay. Let's say verse 7 and 8. Matthew 6, 7 and 8. But when you pray, not if you pray. When means you have to, okay? But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Why? Because they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows the things you had need of before you ask him. That's a problem for me. Your Father knows the things you have need of. When? So why ask him? Why ask? If he knows what I need before I ask, why should I ask? Is that not a good question to ask? Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So he's not surprised at about your prayer needs. So why don't he just give it to me without me asking him if he knows? You must know why you pray then. It's simple. Your praying gives God a legal basis to give it to you. Because if you don't ask, they will say, God, your word says, ask and it shall be given. As he asks you, so your praying gives God the legal basis. The devil, he has asked, so I must give it to him. So your praying does not mean God is surprised. He knows before you ask him. So whatever we have in need of, God is not shocked. Grace provides. Tell a friend, grace provides. Grace. One more time, grace provides. Grace. Now, let's go on because I don't have the whole day. Now, this provision of grace is spiritual. So, as far as God is concerned, as far as heaven is concerned, we're all blessed. Ephesians 1:3. It says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And John says, we are blessed with all the riches that heaven itself enjoys. We are blessed. Angels envy us because we are blessed. As far as God is concerned, all your needs are met. Grace has provided. Are you following me? He has provided. 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. But these things are in the spirit. They're not in the physical. So in the spirit, you are extremely blessed. In the spirit, you are prosperous. In the spirit, righteousness, holiness, everything, answers, solution. You have that already by grace. But it is a spiritual reality, not yet a physical reality. Now, the question must ask ourselves now, if that time we read the Bible, it says he freely gives us all things spiritual. My God supplies all my need, spiritual. Because if he supplies all of our need, we'll not be broke. We'll not have any physical needs. So these things are in the realm of the spirit. Now, the next question, because when you understand these things, when you come to God to pray, your attitude is different. Your attitude will be more of thanksgiving than making demands. Because you know he has already done it. Now, what entitles me to what God has provided? What entitles what God has provided? Let's go to Ephesians 2. Let's start from verse 12. Ephesians 2 from verse 12. So grace provides. So understand, whatever we need now has been provided. It's not going to be provided. It has been provided through what Christ has done. Now, what entitles me to access what God has provided? Ephesians 2 from verse 13. Verse 13 talks of our life before Christ. At that time, before we were saved, before we became a Christian, at that time, we were one without Christ. And Christ is the embodiment of grace. So before salvation, we did not have grace. Okay? We're without Christ. Number two, okay, we're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That was what we were before salvation. But now, after salvation, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, now that we are saved in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, because of verse 12, you are far off, have been brought near by what? By what? So we have been brought near by the blood. I'll explain that very soon. But go to verse 18 and 19. So we are brought near by the blood. Now, what is the consequence of being brought near by the blood? 18 and 19 tells the consequence of verse 13. Verse 18 and 19 now. The consequence of being brought near, verse 18 and verse 19. For through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. So by the blood, we have what? Number one, access. Verse 19, now therefore, you are no longer what? Strangers, no longer foreigners, but now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. How did that happen? By the blood of Christ. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. Say it again, the blood of Jesus. So by the blood of Jesus, we were far without grace, but now by his blood, we are made, now we now have access, we are made near. And we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but we are now fellow citizens with the saints. We are now members of the household of God. By the blood, we are now members of God's household. We have access to all that God has. So the blood gives us access. Now, what does the blood stand for? 1 Corinthians 11:25. I'll read the Amplified now. 1 Corinthians 11:25 from the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 11:25, Amplified says, talking about the communion, he took the cup saying, this cup is a new covenant ratified and established in my blood. This cup is a new covenant ratified and established in my blood. So the blood stands for the covenant. The blood of Jesus stands for the covenant. This cup is the new covenant ratified and established in my blood. So the covenant is established, ratified by the blood. So we are brought near by the covenant. And covenant can simply be defined as access. Covenant is access. So we have access to what grace has provided by covenant. Covenant simply means, if I have a covenant with Brother Wally, for example, it simply means we have mutual access to our assets and liabilities. So I can come to his house and take this car to Nigeria. That's it. I'm coming this afternoon. He doesn't have a choice. It's covenant. Access. Do you understand that? Access to assets and liabilities. So if I have any weakness, he is obliged to help me. Doesn't have a choice. Now, we are in covenant with God. We have mutual access to God's assets and what? Does God have any liability? Do we have any liabilities? So it's a one-sided covenant. So we have access to God, to his assets. He also has access to our own assets. That's why the only thing we have to give God is our life. That says we give our life to Christ. Yes, we want to give him food, give him money. No. So all you have is just this. All I have, God, is my life. I drop it for the covenant. So covenant gives us access. So it's not, we now have access. We now have fellowship with God by covenant. So the covenant, giving your life to Christ, now means you now have access to all that God is and all that God has. So that gives you permission to the provision. Because of salvation. Not because you're a good person, not because you pray, but that you have entered into covenant by giving your life to Christ, you now have access to grace. So all that God has, all that God is, you have access to, permission to access it. That says in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. So we're not begging God, we're not crying, we're not mourning and all that, but you're coming with understanding and confidence that I have a covenant with God. Very important. Now, these two things, like I told you, they are spiritual. How then do I translate this reality into my day-to-day living? That's where now faith comes in. Provision, all that the Bible says is ours. Provision, everything it says. Deliverance, answers, righteousness, holiness, purity, prosperity, whatever it says is ours. Provision, grace. Now, we have access to these things by covenant, mutual access. But these are spiritual realities. How do I make them to become physical reality? That's where now faith comes in. Faith is what helps us to possess what is available spiritually. Faith is the link between the spirit and the natural. Very important. So when I now come to pray, that's where my prayer now comes in. My prayer must be based on faith. What is faith? Faith is simply an assurance, a conviction. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, that can just a bit, if you look at the Amplified, now faith is the assurance. Faith is an assurance. It's an assurance that what God has provided is actually there. That's faith. Are you following me? What God has said is actually true. That is faith. Faith is a conviction. If God says, I am healed, then I'm healed. That's faith. If God says, you freely give me all things, then I believe it. That is faith. So faith is a link between the spirit and the natural. So to translate my spiritual reality of blessings, healing, deliverance, answer, solution into physical reality, it must be through the bridge of faith. So when I'm praying to God, I must pray, understand that there's already a provision to have permission to access, but I must come knowing, having an assurance that it is there and God wants to give it to me. That's where prayer comes in. If you pray thinking, I'm waiting upon the Lord, that is fasting, not prayer. God is waiting upon you. God will do it. No, God has done it. Do you get what I'm talking about? Because we must not be a people who don't have answered prayers. So your prayer isn't that God will do it. We're waiting upon God. Are you following me? You must understand, of course, there's a time, the when that Pastor Brother Bobby mentioned, there's a when, which is in the hand of God, but it doesn't mean we're waiting for God to do it. No, we know he's done, but it's in his sovereignty, the manifestation will come at his own time. It's not that he has not done it. We're waiting for him to do it. No, he has done it, and in his own time, there'll be a manifestation. So prayer must be an act of faith. What does that mean? When I come to God, the first thing to do before prayer is what has been provided, not prayer. I have a need. Prayer is not number one. Number one is what has been provided by grace, the word. But most times when there's a need, we just jump to prayer. It doesn't work like that. So I have a need. I must know what has grace provided. What grace has provided is encoded in the Bible. So the first thing I do when I have a need is what has been provided by grace in the Bible. I must locate what has been provided. That's number one. Not prayer. If it's not provided, answer will not work. I mean, prayer will not work. God is bound by his word. I want to marry a third wife. And God, it must happen. You get what I'm talking about? It's not provided by grace. You get the point? So whenever we have a need, the first thing is not prayer. The first thing is what has been provided. If God has provided it, then we know we can ask, we can get it. If it's not provided, then it's a waste of time. So the first thing, what has grace provided in the word? That's the first thing. What has grace provided? So I look into the word, what has grace provided? If I know what grace has provided, the next step is to develop a conviction that what God has said is actually true and applicable to me. I've not started to pray yet, though. Because faith is an assurance and a conviction. So we should not make prayer a sentimental thing that we just rush to. It is a conscious exercise of believing God. You can't believe God by not knowing what he has provided. What has the word provided? What has grace provided? Provision. Then convictions, and I must develop conviction. Romans 10:17. Now faith comes. How? Talk to me. Comes how? And hearing by the word of God. The word come does not mean it comes from somewhere. No. It means faith is activated. We all have faith. Romans 12:3. We all have faith. So there's faith inside of us. But that faith can only be activated by hearing. So before I pray, I must hear what God has provided. Then faith is stirred up in me. I can now know, yes, I know you have said it. It is mine. So if I have a need, first thing is, what has grace provided? That is, what has the word of God provided? Two, develop a conviction or develop faith in what God has provided. If your word has said it, then you're not even, you don't lie. This word is true. I know it is true. I believe it. I hold on to it. That is faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith does not come by having heard. So you can't hear once and faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So let's say somebody has a health challenge, for example. The first is not prayer. Or let me put this way. There are four ways to minister healing. We can call for the elders of the church, lay hands, anoint with oil. Two, prayer of agreement. Three, prayer of faith. Four, based on the word of God. But if I want to pray for myself, I have a health challenge. The first thing is what has been provided by grace. Healing. Healing. I see what God has provided. Do I have permission to be healed? Yes. Why? Because I'm in covenant with God. I'm a child of God. So healing is the bread of the children. So I know it is my entitlement. So I don't say, if it is your will. It is not. You understand that? I know it is his will because I'm in covenant with him. Do you understand that? Now, I now go look at those scriptures and then develop a knowing that this is really for me. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. It's in the past tense. So that means I'm not the sick trying to be healed. I'm the healed who got sick. I want to be restored back to health. So you meditate on that. You hear messages on that. You think about it. Meditate about it. After a while, now have a conviction. Faith comes, activated, provoked by hearing. Then the next step is I now go to God. Your word says, grace has provided. Your word says, this and this and this. So in the name of Jesus, I receive what you have already done. Answers come. But most times, we just use prayer as a panic button. So the first thing to do, when there's a need, I need to get married, I need to have a child, I need to get a job, I need to know the will of God, I need to know what to do. The first thing is not prayer, is to fellowship with the word of God and find out what has grace provided. It is that scripture you are standing on, what grace has already provided. Don't pray without having a standing. Don't pray without having a standing. The standing must be on the scripture that God has provided. Grace provides. Then number two, I take that scripture, begin to meditate. I'll go and buy messages on that particular area. Faith comes by hearing. Grace comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I say to myself, faith comes by hearing. I keep hearing. I keep hearing. After a while, I have a conviction that what God has said is actually true. That's when faith comes. How do I know faith comes? When your emotions no longer rule you, faith has come. Then, when faith comes, and I go to God to pray in faith. Father, thank you. Because your word says this and this and this. Then because you're giving me access by covenant to this thing. Father, I now come and I receive this thing and I thank you. When I finish praying, my next prayer is just a continuous thanksgiving. Because I have faith in God that if I ask, I will receive. So once I ask, I receive, I continually begin to praise him. I don't go to God against God. This, you know, I hope you have not forgotten. No. That means I don't have faith in God. I don't trust God. I guess the Lord, I thank. If I ask Brother Wally, I don't ask to talk about Wally today now. But Wally, give me $25,000. And I know he has the ability to give it. Not on his credit card, but on his savings. He's a rich man. I hope you know he's a rich man. And he says, Pastor, don't worry. See me after service. If I'm a wise person, will I say, and the service closes and it doesn't come near, will I say, Brother Wally, my money? Is that what I would do? I say, thank you, sir. You're a great man. You're a great man. Ah, you're a man of your word. I love you. Ah, you're a philanthropist. You're a great Christian. What happens to his head?
He's swelling right now.
He's swelling right now. Now the Bible says, magnify the Lord. God says swells too. Magnify the Lord. We say, Lord, I thank you. I might not feel it, but I know it's done. I might not have, I know it's already done. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Then I say, Brother Wally, please don't forget. I say, Pastor, don't worry now. Then I go, I say, Pastor Wally, don't forget. He say, I've told you now. And I say to somebody, please go and remind him. He went to think he doesn't trust me. That is an act of no faith. So when we pray, keep thanking him. Keep thanking him. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. Number two thing you do after thanking God is to deal with the devil. The devil doesn't want that thing to come to pass. So devil, no way. I bind the operations. Don't forget on Friday, there was an issue of prayer and binding and losing. Abby, on Friday. I wasn't here. Do you understand that? There was an issue of binding and losing. So devil, your operations will not work. Your hindrances will not work. We bind your oppressions, we bind your influences in the name of Jesus. What God has done, I believe it. It is happening. Thank you, Lord. But devil, no way. I terminate your oppressions. Your spirit of delay, I bind in the name of Jesus. So you put the devil in the right place. So thanksgiving, devil in the right place. Number three, after I finish praying, thanking God, devil in the right place. Number three, I make sure my confession is right in line with the provision. I don't see anything contrary to what has been provided by grace. You understand that? So I don't now say, I don't know what is happening. Even this prayer thing is not working. No. My confession must conform to what has been provided. That means I still trust God. If I say I'm going to give somebody $5,000 tomorrow, I say, don't worry, but I want to give me $25,000. I won't say, $5,000. How will I get $5,000 now? $5,000. No, I don't have. Somebody promised me money, but I don't know what's happening to him. That's how we do to God. Your confession must conform to what has been provided. Because your words are bridges to the Spirit. Don't forget, grace has provided in the Spirit. What I say to the Spirit, to the physical, are words. When you now say contrary words, you are now hindering the manifestation. God has done it, but the when is delayed by your words. So you don't say words contrary to what you have said. Because words attract spirits. Words attract spirits. Now the Bible says, bless ye the Lord, all his angels, who hearken to the word, they hearken unto the voice of his word. So you don't say things contrary to what you have believed God for. So number one, go to the word of God when you have a need. What has grace provided? You know, have access to it. Then once you begin to hear God on a need, develop faith. Once you have faith ignited in your spirit, you now ask God. Once you ask, keep thanking him. Then devil, no way. Then your confession must be right. Your confession must be right. Don't say anything contrary to the word. And that is where the biggest problem is, beloved. To pray, not a problem. What grace has provided, not a problem. But it's in when the pressure of the when comes. The pressure will come. I thought you said you prayed. Why is there nothing happening? The pressure will come. That's where you need to, that's called the fight of faith. You must not say anything contrary to what you have believed God for. It takes discipline. Because pressure will come from people, from events, situations, circumstances will come to pressure you. How far? How far now? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? If you don't know, you don't know. If you don't know what to say, just say, it is being handled. It is being settled. Four people don't say wrong things to. One, your doctor. Don't go to the doctor and talk faith to your doctor. Just tell the doctor the way it is. My head is aching me. Fine, don't say by his stripes I'm healed. So what are you doing? My enemy has a dick. Don't do that. Two, when you get to your lawyer's office, tell the lawyer exactly what is happening. Else you might end up in prison. So tell the lawyer exactly. Three, your pastor. Or anybody else. Or number four, somebody who can help you spiritually. Anybody else, just say it is well. It is being handled. The other one I'm talking about is, what's happening now? How far now? How far now? I'm tired too. Sorry. Huh? Don't worry. God will do it. In Nigeria, when the Christian tells you in Nigeria that it is well, your case is hopeless. I'm telling you. Say, it is well. Just go and say, God, have mercy. When you say it is well to you in Nigeria, that means your case is extremely hopeless. So watch your mouth. Most times, our mouth is the cause of our delays. We pray in church, and we cancel our prayer by our words in the car park. So keep your confession strong. No matter what happens, keep the confession strong. Then finally, you must now have what I call commensurate action. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So God will prompt you to do some things based on the fact that you believe him. Commensurate action. Looking for a job, go brush up your CV. Go for a job, put your CV on the internet. That's commensurate action. Now, if you are sick and they have been prayed for, then I believe you are healed. A healed person does not lie on the bed at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday. Get up, dress up, commensurate action. The Lord will lead you as to exactly what the action will be. Are you following me? Very important. So, let's understand these things. Number one, grace provides. Whatever we need has been provided. It will not be provided. It has. So when you come to God, you are coming knowing that that thing is available. So grace provides. Then you have access to what has been provided by covenant. Because you're giving your life to Christ, you are now in covenant with God. Mutual access to assets and liabilities. And all you have is simply your life. So all that God has and is, you have. The Bible says in Romans, we are the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. All that God has belongs to us. So I have a need. What has grace provided? I find out. Then number two, I make sure I have a conviction about what God has said. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Comes by hearing. Keep hearing it, keep hearing it, keep hearing it. Go buy messages on it. Listen to messages on it. I keep saying myself until I have a conviction. Then I now go to God because I now know. I have a conviction this thing is mine. Father, thank you because I know your word says this. Therefore, I've come this morning to receive what you have provided for me. I receive now in the name of Jesus. It is settled. Devil, your plan to delay, to hinder, is nullified in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I give up because you're already walking behind the scene. I might not see it yet, but I know you're walking. You don't lie. You're a faithful God. I thank you. Devil, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. Your plan, I destroy in the name of Jesus. Then I watch my mouth. When the pressure comes against me, I make sure I don't say anything contrary to what I believe. If I say it, I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. Keep on believing. And then God will put actions in my mind to do. Steps to take. Realize that the when will not be that long. That the when is long most times because of our words. That's what happened to Abraham. God had to help him to change his mouth. His name was Abraham to Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. He didn't have a single child. They asked him, sir, what's your name? My name is father of many nations. They're wondering, do you have a child? He didn't have any child. But God was trying to change his speech confession. Father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations. To change his speech so that his when will be happening soon. So most of our when is delayed because we are not in agreement with the mind of God by our mouth. If you align your words with the word of God, the when will be soon. Not later. So three things I've said this morning. Provision, permission, possession. Grace, covenant, faith. Whatever you need, provided by grace. You have access by covenants. And by faith, you possess it. Your faith links the spirit to the natural. So, faith simply means, what has God said? I believe it. 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 Then I ask God. Then I thank him. I deal with the devil. Keep my confession strong. Commensurate action. Then the wind comes as soon as possible. So I don't know what you're going through this morning, but you're wondering, you're asking questions, you're confused, you're just weary in your mind. God has done it. God has done it. He's not going to do it. He has done it already. It's just you now taking your hand of faith to receive what he has done. And your hand of faith most times is in the place of prayers. A prayer of faith. Lord, I believe you. I believe you. You have done it. It's already provided. So I come to receive it and I thank you. So our prayer is more of thanksgiving and appreciation. Thanksgiving and appreciation. We deal with the devil. We watch our confession. And then God gives us action to take. And then we realize that prayer is a delight and not a burden. Shall we pray? I want us to just check areas of our lives where we are not particularly satisfied with. Some areas you are not just happy with. And you, many times we don't talk about these things in church because we look as if we are not serious Christians. Look as if we are not spiritual. But God is your Father who understands what you are feeling. So we talk to him this morning. Lord, I've been dealing with this issue for a long time. I've been praying about this thing for a long time. It looks as if 4 years, 5 years, 6 months, 4 months. And you begin to rationalize. Maybe it's not the will of God. It is the will of God. Lord, I need help this morning. We told you, grace makes help available. Don't compromise that need. Don't give it up. Don't abandon that dream. Don't give up on that project. Just say, Lord, I need help. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. Help me, Holy Spirit. You are my helper. And then just say, Lord, I know you have done it. I know you have done it. Grace has provided it. So I want to thank you. So let's start with thanks. Lord, I want to thank you that my husband is here. My wife is here. My job is here. Healing is mine. Thank you. You have provided. It's done already. The answer is there. Thank him. Because you've done it. I believe your word. Thank you. I appreciate you because you love me. You know what I need before I ask you. So thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Say, Lord, I just thank you. And I come this morning in faith. I know that what you have done is real. And I know I have a covenant with you. I come based on the covenant, not on my righteousness, not on the fact that I know how to pray, but I come based on the covenant to access what you have done. God cannot deny covenant. He says, my covenant I will not break. I come this morning on the basis of the covenant to receive what you have already done, to receive my husband, my wife, my child, my healing, my deliverance, my promotion, whatever it is. I come based on the covenant this morning. I come by the blood of Jesus into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in this my time of need. And I receive that which you have done. I receive it and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Now I rebuke the devil, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of delay, I bind in the name of Jesus. You spirit of delay, of frustration, of weariness, of tiredness, I bind in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you. Your counsel is nullified today. And I come by the blood. I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb, blood of my testimony. And Lord, help me by your spirit to keep my confession straight. My confession straight. There's somebody here this morning. There's a strong pull, very strong pull to get involved with the married man. Very strong pull. And your mind, you're beginning to justify that pull. God says no. God says no. God says no. See the pastor after the meeting. There's a strong, very strong pull to a married man. You begin to justify that strong pull. God says no. You have waited so long, faithfully. And God says, your time is just around the corner. But say the pastor after the meeting, let's thank God this morning. He always answers prayers. Just appreciate Him and thank Him. The provision is available. It's there. You have permission. You have permission. You have permission to be healed. So be healed. Permission to be blessed. So be blessed. Possess it by faith. Lord, I come in faith this morning to receive what you've already done. I rebuke every sickness and every disease and every infirmity that might be in anybody's body this morning. I command that disease to go, pain go in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing to everybody, to every soul, to every condition. I speak healing. Be healed now. Be healed now. Be healed now. Be healed in your body, your tendons, your veins, your kidney, your womb, your ovaries. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that ovarian cancer. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Say, be healed now. That pain is going now. Yes, pain, go right now. In the name of Jesus, command the healing of God to flow into your body right now. Be healed in your emotions. You have been emotionally abused. You are emotionally abused, but this morning, God is healing you right now. It's healing you right. That weight is just being lifted now. Yes, the weight is being lifted off your mind. You're feeling light because the body is being lifted supernaturally. That body is removed completely by the anointing this morning. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give a praise. There's somebody else here. It's like you are tossed to and fro in this. You're on a sea, a boat on a big sea, and you're being tossed by the waves. Like your life is just confused. This morning, receive direction. Receive. I say, peace be still. I command the storm be still, wind be still. Command stillness. That confusion of mind, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. You are no longer confused from today. You begin to think clearly and accurately in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give a praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We exalt you. We exalt you. I rebuke that spirit of frustration. You have tried everything in the book, but it has not worked. And you're frustrated, but today, that yoke is destroyed by the anointing. Lord, we give a praise. Lord, we give a praise. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. It is possible. If God put it in your heart, it is possible. Somebody here, you have a dream. It looks like an impossible dream. It's not your idea. It is God that put the idea there. So go to God and ask Him for the details, the how and the know-how. And then you begin to see the manifestation. So don't think it was you having an unusual dream. No, it's God. It's God. It's God. But go to Him for the know-how and the how. And God's going to give you direction. Lord, we give you praise this morning. We bless you. We exalt you. We give you glory. We give you praise. Because you're praying and speaking God. You're not the man that should lie. You don't lie. You say what you mean and you mean what you say. We're grateful for the grace of prayers. For provision, for permission, and for possession. We begin to possess our possessions. We're going to walk in the reality of your word. Your word shall be our reality. So men shall see our good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We thank you this morning and we give a praise. In Jesus' name we pray.